I did, thank you so much.
Sorry, can I get one?
I know these aren't the most comfortable seats in the world, but hopefully you're able to see, you're comfortable. Here we are towards the end of the day, home stretch, yay and exciting. Already got it on.
Oh, it's already on.
We're good.
Okay. So welcome everyone, you're in session six. This is Crucial Systems for Growing the Church. Our presenter today is Jason, I'm so sorry, Karampatsos.
That works.
All right, so you are in Crucial Systems for the Growing Church. If that's not where you planned on being, no offense, you're welcome to exit if this is, unless this is where God has you for us this afternoon. Hey, as we walk through this morning, you've heard it before, a goal without a plan is just a wish. Again, we've heard it before, we don't plan to fail, but we fail to plan. We've all heard of someone just falling in love, right? As if some outside gravitational force just pulls it into, and they fall into love with one another. The truth is, it doesn't work that way for church growth. Like, there's no gravity that just, oops, look at that, our church just grew because we just love one another. It takes intentionality. It takes sovereignty of God. But when this all works together, then we can see some beautiful things happen. But it does take that intentionality. Systems for the growing church. If it's growing, it's going to require systems to maintain that growth. If it's not growing, in part, it might be because there aren't systems to be able to allow for, to foster, and to support the growth. So today, in the brief time that we have together, we're going to walk through some, I'm going to zero in on some of those crucial systems for the growing church. And so a question some of you might be asking, why are you here? And why am I here listening to you? So a little quick background about who I am. You can pronounce it as Jason Karampatsos. The church just calls me Dr. J. It's just a lot easier than always having to stumble over my last name. I know in graduate school, when they're going through the attendance at the beginning of class, there'd always be that pause somewhere in the middle of the alphabet. And I would just say present. But a little bit seriously, my background. So I am a lead pastor. I served the honor of serving at Capital Church up in Albany, New York. Prior to that, God's had some other opportunities for me as lead pastor, serve as a care pastor at a large church outside of D.C. and a youth pastor. But my background, my education is in pastoral counseling. So I'm a licensed counselor. God had been able to use me back when I was in the Potomac District, co-founded the City of Refuge Counseling Network, where we provided counseling for pastors, missionaries, evangelists, and their families, being able to help them as they're working in ministry. And so over the years, being able to work with couples, work with families, work with those in ministry, trying to be able to walk through some things, quite honestly, on the healthier side of crossing the line, trying to be able to put some in systems, and that's briefly what the handout is, you'll see, is some systems to be able to help us live healthier lives, to have healthier ministries. For me, I'm kind of a pragmatist. I look at it, if the pastor can be healthy, then it has an impact on the congregation. Because I know when the minister, the lead pastor, the ministry leaders are not healthy, well, that impacts lots of families. We hear stories time and time again of a lead, a pastor, someone in ministry having some sort of explosion in their life or in their family and just the fallout. And so trying to find practical ways to be able to step into those situations and to be able to help. And looking through from church, we're going to walk through things a little bit different today as we're walking through some of these systems, and it'll make sense a little bit for you in just a moment. We probably have all gone to a conference before. We saw the number of hands of those who are repeats have come back even here. But we've read books, we've gone to conferences, been a part of seminars. There's been something that's just been inspiring. Like, wow, that is such a great system. Wow, we see what God is doing there. Wow, that is so awesome, so amazing. And then we get back to our situation, whether it be our marriage, our family, our small group, or our church, or campus, or congregation, and it didn't work as smooth for you as it did for the presenter. Remember several years ago at the general council, it's where all the credential holders from around the country are gathered, coming together, it's our governing body. When they started the pre-conference, the next pre-conference, there was one breakout session on discipleship that was just phenomenal. I'm there with my wife, a few of my staff pastors were sitting there, and we're just soaking it in. They had this system that was crazy. Everyone in this church kind of had a dossier on them, where they're at, like what classes they've done, what they have kind of for this upcoming year to go. And once a year, they would sit, kind of be reevaluated for where they should be. And the pastor's up there, and he's got flowchart upon flowchart. And he can tell you where every single person and the hundreds of people in his church, he can tell you where everyone is today, where they should be within 12 months. He had this system that was just like overwhelming, and it's exciting. Wow. All right, great, this is the solution, this is the answer that we're looking for. We get back, and we can't replicate any of it. Now, and I see things like this time and time again. Actually, some of my doctoral dissertation, my doctoral research, in my most recent book, The Elf in the Marriage, basically, it looks through the way that we see things, the balance between our perspectives and our perceptions. And so kind of using that kind of, why am I here today? Well, part of this is looking at these crucial systems for the growing church, but being able to look at them from our perspective, kind of our perception of our church and what might be successful for us. So this is a different approach to church systems. Might be different than what you expected when you signed up and you walked in here today. Some of you are going to love this. Some of you are not. And I'm okay with that. Because I'm not looking just for another workshop that inspires you to then go out and not see anything change. Amen. What I long for is whatever area of ministry that you're a part of is for there to be change, for there to be an opportunity for growth. And so if that even just takes looking at things differently to be able to help for an opportunity for that growth, really that's my key for our brief time together today. All right, so crucial systems for the growing church. It's not a one size fits all, right? That church is too big, that church is too little. That program is too detailed, it's not detailed enough. As we come through, whether you listen to a podcast or read a book, gone to a conference or workshop, there might even be some of the sessions that you sat in today, and it just really, really, like, this is just right. That's your size. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not too big. It's not too small. But then there might be some, like, it just doesn't feel like it fits just right. Some of you who have teenage girls, you might understand kind of the cult of Brandy Melville. I've got three kids, two of the girls are teenagers, and our oldest, she loves Brandy Melville. And for those of you who've had the misfortune of going shopping there, you'll understand their entire model is one size fits all. In the five of us in our family, there's only one that fits the one size fits all. And our oldest daughter, she happens to be the one size fits all that fits the size. That's the only size that they sell. As we're looking through systems for the growing church, it's not a one size fits all. We need to find the one that works for us, the books, the resources. Because you can try to emulate, hey, this is what I read. I mean, there's been times, you know, I go back and watch some old Billy Graham sermons. Wow, God just used him. And then I get up there on Sunday morning and I find myself just emulating him just a little bit more. The Bible says, like, no. I'm not Billy Graham. My church knows I'm not Billy Graham. So trying to find what will work for you. Not all approaches are going to work for all churches. And there's a reason for that. We need to find a system. We're going to talk about this over and over again today. Find a system that works for you. Find a system that works for your leadership style. Find a system that will work for your church. And find a system that will work for your leadership team. Find a system that works for you. Find a system that works for your leadership style. One of the reasons that the Church Multiplication Network has so many phenomenal, inspiring stories that comes out of CMN is because these church planters get to go into a city, into a situation, plant a church where they get to build things from the ground up, which is a tremendous undertaking. I'm not a church planter, but any opportunity I get to attend a CMN event, I go because I'm inspired, I learn, I can soak in from it. Church planters have the opportunity to go in and build things from the ground up so that all that they see, do, and touch fits for them. It fits for their leadership style. I suspect what the majority of us in this room, though, have inherited a church, a ministry, a leadership team. And so although it might work for you, if it doesn't work for your team, it's not going to work. If it works for your leadership style, but it doesn't work for your church, guess what? It's not going to work. So we need to be able to find something that's going to work and being aware of these four. And honestly, if there's just one takeaway that you take away from our 30 minutes together, just one takeaway, would it just simply be this? To find something that's going to work for you and your leadership style and your church and your leadership team. It needs to be, works with all those to be successful. All right. Now, as the title suggested, there are some crucial systems. And here, not a comprehensive list, but this is a kind of a good snapshot of some of the crucial systems for the growing church. Now, for those of you who can see the screen, you might disagree with the wording. You might have a different phrase that you use. You might have a different organization. Some of those you'd group together. Some of those you would have separate. Something else you would add to the board. Something that you wouldn't have on there all together. And that's fine. This is what works for me. And so that's some of the language that I'm going to use, but we're going to kind of pull that apart today. Guest follow-up. Guest retention. Now, you might say, well, those two are one and the same. I see some difference between the two, and so I want to know what the system is for both. New membership pipeline. Just as we don't just, I mean, we can fall in love. We don't just fall into church membership. There was one Sunday we're bringing all of our new members up, and I just kind of made the mistake, right? All of our new members come up on the platform, and there's about a dozen or so that came up, and two people that I didn't recognize. Now, I didn't do the most recent membership class. So I'm like, all right, maybe I like our church isn't that large that I just don't know these people, but you know what? Maybe that's the case. And so we went through the service, and afterwards talking to some of the staff, talking to some of the leaders, and none of us know who they were. They were first-time guests. But they decided they wanted to be members. All right. We need to know our new membership pipeline, a system. And discipleship, you know, after all, this is the one thing that the Great Commission calls us to do. So if there's one thing we're doing, we ought to be doing discipleship. There's a great breakout on that. If you already missed it, you've already missed it. But they did record it, so in a few days you'll be able to go online and listen to it. But discipleship. Finances. Right? Money might not be your thing, but it's kind of an important thing. Kids ministry, youth ministry, quite honestly, any type of ministry that your church is desiring to do, you need to be aware of what that system looks like. Volunteers. Now, volunteers might be a dirty word in your church. One on staff at a church outside of D.C., large church, several thousand. And apparently this was a no-no word. Like, you didn't use the word volunteer. They were all servant ministers. Which, quite honestly, I love the heart. I love the language. But every once in a while, I'd get in trouble for saying the V word. But regardless of what you call it at your church, you need to have a system for them, recruiting them, training them, having them, maintaining them, and empowering them. Small groups, community groups, cell groups, again, whatever you might call that, there needs to be a system for that. I put this one as next step vision, something kind of beyond what you're currently doing. If you've read the book, The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson, he talks about having a $3 million vision. Someone came to him and, spoiler alert, gave him $3 million for the church. And he said, you know, I didn't always have a vision for what to do with $3 million. And I remember reading that book several years ago, like, yeah, I don't have a vision to what to do with $3 million. Like, $300,000? Like, I had a plan if someone gave us $300,000, but not $3 million. I tell you today, that's exactly what we do with $3 million today. But again, even that, there's a system. If it's going to be a growing church and staying as a growing church, these are some of the things that I believe we need to be thinking about. And again, you might have these structured differently or whatnot. Facilities, equipment, things that you have, you know? Maybe there was a day there was one church that had a fire, and with the insurance money, they bought all the staff all new computers, which was great. Their plan wasn't to have a fire every 5 years so everyone gets new computers every 5 years. Like, we need to figure out, okay, what's that system? What are we going to be doing when this breaks or that gets old, so on and so forth? So having a system for that. Your spiritual growth. Discipleship might be the one thing on the board that's in the Great Commission, but the one thing that God is the most concerned about is you.
Amen.
Your spiritual growth. Yeah. Your spiritual health. So we ought to have, at least have some sort of an idea of what we're going to be doing with that. And then evangelism and outreach and missions. Like, these are things that are important that require some sort of systems. Now, some of these systems, you can come in and you can create change. Like, you can come in and desire to see that change. When my wife and I took a church in Wisconsin as a lead pastor, when we walked in the door, the church was almost exclusively white. To the point that historically, the greeters would let people know, hey, you might be more comfortable at another church down the street. When we walked in, it's like, all right, this is a change that we're going to bring about. And we began to see God do something. And in short order, we became the most culturally diverse church Amen. In all of the area. That was a change that we fought for, but also required the sovereignty of God. We started tracking states that guests were coming from. And actually, Anna got one of those maps that you would have, like maybe on the side of the RV, where you would track what states you've gone to visit. And we were tracking. We had people in our first 2 years there come from 22 different states, move to our city, and become a part of our church.
Wow.
Now, if you know that area, people don't move there. That was just God sovereignly bringing people here and us bringing about that change to see something different. So there's a system that we can bring change. Sometimes we are bringing the change. Sometimes you're just managing it. Currently, again, I'm the lead pastor up in Capital Church in Albany, and years before I got there, the former pastor sold some of the land, the leadership sold some of the land, starting a process to relocate. And so when they were looking to hire a new pastor, they were already in this desire to move. And so I'm coming in, I'm not creating the change, but I need to really just manage the change that's already in motion. And sometimes that's what you will inherit. And sometimes you just need to direct it. Like, there's just a sovereign move of God. There's just something that is happening. And, it's just like, all right, God, help me funnel this. You know, maybe you're sledding, you're going down the hill, And sometimes you just got to kind of control chaos. Or I just need to go and stay alive and go through. Sometimes you might find yourself in an area and needing to be able to have a system that can manage something that's really just beyond your control. Because God is sovereign. And God's going to do what he's going to do. But we can be the ones to prepare for rain. Like, we can prepare for what God desires to do, having that plan. But it begins by needing to identify some of those components, some of those areas for the growing church. Now, as you look at a list like this, some of these might be second nature. Well, I mean, that's obvious. Of course we need to do this, or of course we need to do that. And that's likely where you're going to start. Like, there are some on my board, finances, that's their wheelhouse. That's just naturally where they start. It's actually kind of where they start. It's where they end. Like, that's what they see, and that's their specialty. And you can lead a church, but you'll be limited as a growing church if you're just staying in just one of these areas. But naturally, lean into your strengths. Like, there are things that you are just naturally going to be, look at this list. Yeah, we're already doing that. Not even doing it, not even, like, intentionally. It's just second nature. But as Andy Stanley warned us, if you don't know why it's working when it is, you won't know why it's not when it isn't. And so just because it just works well for you, there is still a benefit of figuring out why it works well so that you can have that system that can be reproduced. And when it stops working, you'll be able to get in there and try to fix some things. Quite honestly, you could probably argue that you could start just about anywhere. Hey, I'm going to start here, I'm going to start here, start there. All right, that's great. I'm not going to argue where you need to start. Maybe begin leaning into your strength, but recognizing, all right, there's a lot of moving pieces for the growing church. Like, for example, volunteers. Or maybe this is really where you want to start. Maybe you're coming into a church, or you assess where things are right now. Like, this is the area we need to develop our servant ministers. We need to develop our volunteers. We need to figure, okay, what's our system going to be? Let's say volunteers on the worship team. Some churches, they basically wait for someone to come and say, hey, I'd like to be on the worship team. That's where their system begins. Some are being more proactive and intentionally seeking out. Some, very specifically, they're praying over, right? Here's an instrument that we need. Here's a musician that we need. Being able to figure out what that might be. I know for me, over the years, I love really starting with our kids ministry and just creating a space and a time for our kids to engage in worship and to raise up young worshipers. And then when they get into youth ministry and maybe they're starting with an instrument and practicing, really just being able to encourage that. And so as they grow up, maybe being able to join with the Sunday morning worship team, or maybe on a Saturday night during prayer service. My son last year, for the first time, played the drums during vacation Bible school. You know, just kind of breaking him in a little bit, being able to find that system. So I've always, as a youth pastor, even as a lead pastor, I look at my kids' ministry as my farm team. And then the youth ministry, and being to be intentional, like, hey, if I'm going to be here for the long haul, I want a system. And that's what works well for me. Now, it takes a lot of time. But over time, then you start to have a system that just continues to produce worshipers of God, using those God-given gifts and God-given talents. But what happens when you've got that as a system, but then you've got a gatekeeper? Someone who isn't onboarding new people. I tell you, every church I've served at, there's been someone. Usually it's the security team. Oh yeah, we don't recruit, we don't take on new people, we have all that we need. Or maybe an usher's, pastor, we've got six aisles, we've got six people, they each know their aisle, and we don't need any more people. Or hey, we only have so many doors in the building, we don't need any more greeters. Like, there's always someone that has the mindset. I shouldn't say always, it's always been my experience. Maybe you've had better luck, but there's always been to someone. And so as I'm preaching, teaching, modeling, and encouraging that empowering and developing, if that's my system, but then there's something within the system that's working against that, I need to be aware of that and address that within the system. Maybe that leader just needs to be informed, retrained, maybe a different seat on the bus, whatever the case might be. But what you don't want is someone who goes through your membership pipeline and they go through their spiritual gifts assessment and they communicate where they want to serve, and you go ahead to, and you encourage them to connect with that ministry leader. They connect with that ministry leader, like, yeah, we're all set. And then that person is just kind of stagnated. And often this is where we find, you know, we can be a really welcoming church for that first 6 months, and then somewhere along the line we don't connect. For me, I love to see people connect as soon as they can. Their first Sunday there, I will communicate to them that you're no longer the new person here. Because the next time you come back, there'll be someone else who is new, and you've been here longer than them. Yeah. And when they walk in the door, they don't know that you've only been here 1 week or 10 years or whatever the case might be. And so, now, I'm not going to have a first-time guest preaching on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to have them leading worship on a Sunday morning. And the greeters team hate when I say this, so I can say it here. Doesn't take a lot of theology to greet someone at the door. And so being able to find ways to disciple. So your volunteer and your discipleship process ought to overlap. Honestly, right here, that new guest retention also plays in, but you need to make sure you know what your systems are and where they might be working against one another. All right, looking at our time. So 5 minutes, what? All right, so we are about a third of our way through. All right, why? Need to start with why. I'm gonna actually go through this a lot quicker than I had planned on it. If you don't know why that system or that ministry exists, you're gonna have a really hard time figuring out that system. If you don't know why, then you can't accurately know how. Why do you do small groups? If you don't know the answer, you're not going to be able to develop a system that's going to get you to your why. For Capital Church, we exist to connect our communities to Christ. We know that. We say that over and over again. Our how or our values is to engage people where they are, encourage people to grow closer to Christ, and empower people to own the mission and invite others to do so too. And so right within that, our values is encouraging people to take ownership. It can't just be me sitting in my office hearing from God, telling everyone what to do. They need to take ownership of it. All right, I've got 2 pages of notes on this slide, but we're going to go ahead and move on. If you haven't read Simon Sinek's Starts With Why, highly recommend it. That's where that graphic came from. And a lot of the content that we would have talked about came from that phenomenal book. So again, kind of as an example, all right, let's kind of bring this together. Guest follow-up. We'll kind of take this one. If we don't know why we're doing guest follow-up, then we're going to have a hard time figuring out what that should look like, right? Do we do guest follow-up because we're supposed to? Or because I read it in a book? Or because we want church numbers to grow? Or we want church finances to grow? Or do we want to make disciples? Like, if we don't know why new guest follow-up is important, we're going to have a hard time creating a system that gets us to that why. But again, circling back to Three Little Bears, you need a system that works well for you, that works well for your leadership style. Flowcharts in like, hey, if that works for you, great. If there's something else, like for my wife and I, we came up with just a really simple system, right? We've got our guests, they fill out their Connect card. Now we recognize we're probably at best a third to two-thirds will fill out the Connect card within their first 3 weeks. So we know right off the bat, we're not connecting with everyone. But then we invite them over to out to lunch. Sometimes we go to a local restaurant with a couple different families. And then we invite them kind of quarterly over to our home. And so we'll have maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 30, maybe 40. We don't know how many are going to show up. But we just kind of give that open invitation, trying to be able to connect. I do horrible with names and faces. So if I can sit across the table with them, if I can have them in my home, that at least I have a shot at getting to know them. But then also wanting to get them connected to our small groups so they can build relationships. I'd love to get to know everyone in my church, but quite honestly, far more important for me than them knowing me is for them being connected to the church.
Yeah.
for me, that kind of that's part of that why we do what we do and how that influences it. And if people's only connection, well, I had lunch with the pastor. I went over to the pastor and his wife's house, and they're really nice people, but they haven't connected with the church, then we haven't successfully done what we need to do.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what works for me. That's what works for my leadership style. The last church we were at, I remember having the staff come down to my office, and some of the staff said, I've never been back to this office. The people in the church, they've been in the church 10, 20 years, and they never walked into the lead pastor's office. That just didn't make sense to me. All right, different leadership styles. Find what works well for you. You don't have to just be what someone else is doing. If you're one, you don't have anyone in your office, I'm not judging you. That's fine. Do what works best for you because you want it to be successful. But you need to know why. We got 1 minute. All right. Two more pages of notes on that one. Great stuff. Theologically, it's kind of stolen from Rick Warren here, kind of why we do what we do and how we do kind of that theological why, taking people from the community, bringing them to the crowd, bringing them to the congregation, the committed, the core, the commission. We want to have that discipleship process. And as Rick Warren often talks about, there's that invitational that Jesus would invite them to come and see, come and follow, to come progressively. We want to have within our church a flow that takes them from where they're at. Loving them just the way they are, but loving them too much to lead them that way. Do you want to take a quick snapshot here on the screen? Here are just some tools to discover. Different personality assessment. Some of these you may have done, have been used before. Any one of them, they can be helpful in starting the conversation. Just to recognize, not everyone on your team is the same. Last one up there, Working Genius. Highly recommend. Just a great tool that we've been using a lot the past couple of years with our team. And with that, our time is out. I pray, again, that one key takeaway, find a system that works well for you. Understanding your gifts, your talents, your personality, your setting and where you're at. Pray that God continues to be with you and all that you have. I'm going to hang out for a few minutes as you guys are dismissed to go to our final session.
Thank you. Can you put that first slide?